I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Earlier this month, the Wisconsin State Journal had an editorial about the state of the roads in Wisconsin. It started like this: the bad news about Wisconsin's transportation system has piled up like a multi-vehicle crash. U.S. News and World Report just ranked Wisconsin 49th out of 50 states for the quality of our roads. About 42% of Wisconsin's roads in poor or mediocre condition, compared to just 19% in neighboring Illinois. In January, the State Department of Transportation revealed the cost of major road projects in Wisconsin doubled between the time they were planned and the time they were built. And transportation also means public transit, as many people who live in the city of Milwaukee don't have cars, and many of the jobs are out of the city. Early in March, the NAACP, Milwaukee Branch, Sierra Club, John Muir Chapter, and Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope filed suit in federal court in Milwaukee seeking to block the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's efforts to spend over $1 billion to rebuild and expand I-94 between 16th and 70th Street. Those are plans that are on hold at the moment, and this would put a nix on all of the plans. And they did this because there was a refusal to include necessary public transit expansion as part of that project. Well, we'll talk about all of this hour. We've all been driving on the roads. They haven't been very good this winter. Lots of potholes, at least here in the city of Milwaukee. Our first guest spent lots of time in Milwaukee for a story that he did for Politico titled Overpasses, a Love Story. And a little bit later in the hour, we'll be speaking with the president of the NAACP Milwaukee branch. Michael Grunwald is with us first, senior staff writer for Politico magazine, editor-at-large of The Agenda. Before that, a staff writer for the Boston Globe, National staff writer for the Washington Post, and senior national correspondent for Time magazine. He won the George Polk Award for National Reporting and is also author of The New Deal, The Hidden Story of Change in the Obama Era. Mike, thanks very much for being with us. Hi.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. In the article you did for Politico, you asked the question, and let's start with your answer to the question, why are we spending our money on massive new roads?
Well, I guess, you know, those are the priorities of your leadership in Wisconsin, and really, for the most part, nationally. Nationally, we spend five times more on roads than we spend on transit, and we spend a lot more building new roads than we spend fixing our old roads. I went to Milwaukee because it was really an extreme example. When I was there, you guys were spending $7 billion on these mega projects to expand your interstates to basically make it easier for suburbanites to get around. At the time, you know, Scott Walker is a perfect example of a politician who's helped kill, you know, high-speed rail, light rail, commuter rail, downtown rail, and that's where you guys are.
And as you remind us in the article, when so much cash, as you write, and concrete gets poured into the spaghetti bowl of freeways around Milwaukee, other needs tend to get neglected. So there are a lot of potholes in the city. The roads are not in very good shape, as they are in other parts of the Wisconsin. They're not in very good shape as well. There just hasn't been money spent to make sure that those potholes are fixed.
That's right. And look, I think there's a real kind of racial component to this as well, not necessarily on purpose, but I remember going to some inner city neighborhoods with a state representative who told me that he had to like replace his transmission, you know, every couple years because the streets were so bad, while the state was really spending big on these kind of new interchanges for, you know, exits out where I remember Amazon was building a big one of its distribution centers out in the suburbs. You've got that that health IT company whose name I forget that has that crazy campus out in the burbs. And look, that's where the jobs are going, while the sort of downtown economy is in some areas really struggling. I remember there was that auto plant in the sort of inner city neighborhood that used to provide a lot of middle-class jobs. and that's fallen on real hard times. So I do think that this kind of development pattern that sort of where it's geared towards suburban drivers who kind of listen to talk radio on their drive to work, you know, that has implications and that has consequences.
I'm wondering if this statistic is unusual, Mike. You say in the article, Wisconsin spent only 39% of highway dollars on maintenance from 2009 to 2011. I'm not sure what it is now, versus 61% on new highway capacity.
Well, and they were, I assume it's gotten much bigger because of those gigantic mega projects, and they really are impressive. They make it safer, right? You've got like the Zoo Interchange and the Marquette Interchange. Mm-hmm. Trying to remember from when I was there. But these were, I mean, I remember one of them was like $250 million per mile. And they're really extraordinary. They make it safer to drive on those interstates. They make it better to drive on those interstates. But what I always bang my spoon on my high chair about is that these money set are priorities. And if you invest in highways, you're going to have people on highways. And you're going to have suburban development, and you're going to have sprawl. If you invest in cities and sidewalks and pedestrians and bikes and transit, you're going to have that better, and you're going to have more downtown development. You're going to have more vibrant cities. They're all trade-offs. Wisconsin's the Republicans who run the state have made it pretty clear where their bread is buttered.
And yet now they're in a bit of a quandary as to how to pay for all of these projects because there's a budget crunch, right?
Well, that is true. And I remember that was true when I was there, where particularly some of the rural legislators were kind of raising their hands and saying, hey, wait a minute. What about our sprawl roads? You're spending so much on these, you know, crazy interchange for suburbanites around Milwaukee that we're getting screwed. Mm-hmm. And in a way, that's the kind of that's been the limiting factor for some of these kind of grandiose plans. The fact that like you've already looted transit, you've already stopped spending money on fixing urban streets. If you want to keep doing this, now somebody's going to have to pay, and rural legislators don't want it to be them. This has been, again, I used Wisconsin as an example, and I thought it was like a pretty extreme one because of all the various trains that you've killed over the years.
Right.
But you're not unique.
Mm-hmm. How does do most of these projects get funded? Is it half federal government money coming with no strings attached and the other half from the state? Does that vary from year to year?
Well, I think it depends on the kind of project. And again, like, you know, these expressway mega projects tend to get a larger percentage of federal dollars. But the larger point that I really always try to emphasize is that the basic way transportation has been funded is that, you know, we pay our taxes to the federal government, and then the federal government sort of turns around and passes these dollars back to the states. And some states spend it in very progressive ways or very innovative ways, while others have these kind of state transportation departments that are run by cement heads, who just are about, you know, building roads. And you guys had some in Wisconsin in sort of obscure towns whose name I'm going to forget, but where they projected that, oh, we need to widen this from 2 to 5 lanes,
right,
because, you know, we're going to get incredible traffic in the coming years. And the traffic projections were absurd, and people sued, and the judges kind of laughed them out of court. That's, again, a very common phenomenon around the country, where our tax dollars are just promoting these sprawl roads that are essentially, you know, stressing local police departments and, you know, hospitals and schools and creating all kinds of, certainly environmentally, they're putting us in our cars more and creating more carbon emissions. They're hollowing out our cities in ways that aren't necessarily the point of the transportation projects, but are the result nevertheless.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about some states, I know you spend a lot of time in Wisconsin, but some states being a little more innovative and progressive, more balanced public transit and roads. What states really stand out as being good models?
I mean, certainly I remember Massachusetts and Rhode Island were considered pretty good, but it's not just a red state, blue state thing. It's really been a problem. I mean, certainly there have been efforts under Obama to try to shift towards more of a fix-it-first mentality, where instead of building new stuff, first we're going to kind of fix what we have, and to a little bit more emphasis on transit, and a new program called Tiger, which basically was a competition where instead of just sending money to the states where they can just, you know, spend it on whatever dumb project is next in line, this was based on the kind of radical idea that actually projects should have to prove they have environmental and economic benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So the money went to the best projects. And even though it was in President Obama's stimulus that Republicans hated, it's become a very popular program and it has continued with bipartisan support. So there are definitely, you know, efforts to try to get out from under this kind of constant, you know, asphalt addiction. But, you know, the road builders are very popular, you know, have a lot of power. The home builders have a lot of power. And there are a lot of, interests that depend on the status quo.
Hmm. Power meaning what? They give money to politicians?
Yeah, political power. And you know, every suburb wants their interchange, right? When Scott Walker announces this interchange out in south of Milwaukee and Amazon then comes and builds and puts 2,000 jobs there, nobody says, like, well, hey, that's a strange choice. What about, you know, those are jobs that people living in the inner city can't get to.
Right.
You know, people just say, oh, that's cool, that's jobs. But again, all of these are choices. It's where do you want your jobs? Where do you want your investments? And overwhelmingly in Wisconsin and predominantly nationwide, the investments have been made in ways that that don't promote urban living, you know, urban development.
Tell me why this is the case, Mike. The State Department of Transportation in Wisconsin in January gave us a cost of major road projects in Wisconsin. It doubled between the time they were planned and built, $1.5 billion to build 19 major road projects between 2006 and 2015, $772.5 million more than originally estimated, and there are 16 other projects going on as of August, originally expected to cost $2.7 billion, now slated to cost $5.8 billion. Why?
Well, okay, you know, there as much, you know, you can tell I'm sort of an urban transit-oriented guy.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I would love to say that this is like a specifically road-based phenomenon, I think this is sort of a perhaps a government project phenomenon where people who like projects, you know, the costs seem very small when they're planning it. And then once the concrete starts to pour, you can always do the change order later. And I think that certainly happens with road projects, but it probably happens with transit too. The point though is that these are expensive projects.
Right.
You know, $7 billion.
I know.
Is a lot of money.
Yes, I know.
You know, that's I know in Wisconsin when I was there, there were talks about like layoffs at the University of Wisconsin and cuts for programs for the poor. We're seeing nationally, they're talking about cutting Medicaid for people making up to like $50,000 a year. These are all choices and these are all trade-offs. And these road projects are expensive. They're engineering marvels. They're kind of awesome in their way. But they ain't cheap.
Mike Grunwald is our guest, the first part of the show today, and we'll be welcoming phone calls. He wrote a recent piece in Politico that's centered on Wisconsin because, well, for a couple reasons. We've spent a whole lot of money on these amazing projects, the Marquette Interchange, the Zoo Interchange taking place now, making an interchange near the Amazon jobs, and yet we haven't spent very much money on public transportation, so people... in the central city of Milwaukee, who might benefit from those jobs, have a hard time getting to those jobs because a lot of people don't have cars. But what do you make of this report, and what do we do about it? There's something off here because all you have to do is drive around, at least if you live in Milwaukee and probably in other communities, you know that our local roads have really suffered, and Wisconsin is ranking 49th out of 50 of all states for the quality of our roads, 42% in poor or mediocre condition, 19% in neighboring Illinois. And the cost overruns for these freeway interchanges that we're building, how long it takes to build them, where they get placed, are they increasing a move out of cities into suburbia? Why do they happen where they're happening? What should we be doing about how we pay for roads? Why does it cost so darn much money for all of these to be built? I would think that more than a few of you will have thoughts about this, so here's your chance. Our phone number is 800-486-8650. Oh, yeah, there we go. I figured this would happen. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page, where we always like to read your comments, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Mike is senior staff writer for Politico. He's also worked for the Boston Globe, for the Washington Post, senior national correspondent for Time Magazine, and has won the George Polk Award for national reporting, author of the best-selling book, The New Deal, The Hidden Story of Change in the Obama Era. Later this hour, Fred Royal will join us, president of the NAACP Milwaukee branch, and he is one of the organizations that has filed lawsuit to stop this redoing of I-94 in Milwaukee going from 16th Street to 70th, which would have cost a bundle of money. So we'll be with you in a moment. This is the Ideas Network. All right, let's go to phone calls for Mike Grunwald, and we start with Julie in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Hi, Julie.
Hi there. Thanks for the program. Even here in smallish Fond du Lac, we've just completed the 151 bypass, which was useless at the beginning and has had like three iterations because of terrible accidents and safety concerns, and yet is because to businesses. And it's been frustrating as a normal citizen, you know, to attend meetings and to try and get feelings heard. And we're told that, you know, we don't understand the project. We're not engineers. We don't see the big picture. And yet, guess what? Yes, we do. And it turns out it's worthless, and it's cost tens of millions of dollars. And it just is so frustrating to see all this money go to waste, and yet we do have roads that are in terrible repair. So what are we supposed to do about it?
Yeah. Well, in a moment, we'll speak with the president of the NAACP, because they were party to a lawsuit that wants to stop this I-94 expansion here in Milwaukee. But let's ask Mike, is this the way to go? Is it the only way to go? There are hearings held on this, but is a lawsuit the way to stop a project?
Well, lawsuits work sometimes. I mean, it's tough, but some of these projects have been, their economic and traffic studies have been so egregious that that's been a way of stopping them. Mm. I will say, and again, you know, these are often very complicated projects, and the studies are incredibly, you know, intricate. But one thing I do remember, and again, it was more than a year ago that I did this story in Milwaukee. One thing I remember is that the basic argument for all these, for all of $7 billion that was being spent was congestion. And I spent 4 days driving around Milwaukee working on this story, and I think I tapped the brakes twice. You guys just don't have very bad traffic. And, you know, as you head towards a world of, you know, self-driving cars and, you know, the Rust Belt is not in the big population growth in the United States. Like, there's really no reason to think that that these sort of inevitable projections that, you know, traffic is going to double everywhere you turn are necessarily going to come true.
It certainly
it hasn't come true in the past, but that has not stopped the traffic optimists from continuing to find the demand that they need to keep themselves busy.
Yeah, Julie, thanks for the call. Mary in Milwaukee, hi.
Hello. Well, one of the reasons I think they're spending so much money on the highways here is because what you've been hearing out of the governor's office lately is all this promotion of tourism and how there's so many billions of dollars that come into the state from tourism, which is fine, but I think a lot of this is for show and for the tourists to get around to heck and to damn with those who live in the inner city or, you know, the city areas. To heck with them. We need to make sure that the tourists can get around.
I don't think that's really the main focus. I think it's more the, you know, Scott Walker is building stuff for Scott Walker's voters. And they don't live in downtown Milwaukee. They live in those WOW suburbs. And those, they're getting some excellent, you know, work on their expressway so that they have a much smoother drive into their offices. But, you know, I don't, look, Scott Walker has just said he said that his vision of transit is that every access to transit is that every citizen should have a car, and that's just that's not a universal vision, but that's his vision.
Mm-hmm. But he's run into a bit of a roadblock now, even with fellow Republicans, because he doesn't want to raise a gas tax to pay for the roads, and finding ways to pay for the roads is reaching a bit of a dead end here.
Yeah, well, the stuff costs money, and
right.
And you know, this is where two beliefs are sort of coming into contact: the belief that nobody's taxes should ever go up ever, with the belief that that, you know, suburbanites should have these gleaming, endlessly easy commutes into their downtown offices. So you know, something's got to give.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us, Michael.
It's been my pleasure.
Mike Grunwald, senior staff writer for Politico, spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, and particularly in Milwaukee, doing a major piece on the Marquette interchange and the Zoo interchange and roads in Wisconsin, and our love of freeways and exchanges and why it costs so much and how it's being done at the expense of other forms of transportation. And here to talk more about that is Fred Royal. Fred is the president of the NAACP Milwaukee branch. He's worked at GM and Employ Milwaukee, Workforce Development Board serving Milwaukee County. The NAACP is one of the organizations that filed the lawsuit that we told you about earlier. This happened in March. Organizations supporting racial and environmental justice, NAACP, Sierra Club, and Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope filed a suit in federal court in Milwaukee seeking to block the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's efforts to spend a whole lot of money to rebuild and expand I-94 between 16th and 70th streets. Fred, thank you very much for joining us in our studios. Hello.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. So we've talked about how much money is spent on these roads. It is pretty remarkable that there hasn't been much money at all spent on public transit. So what's the problem with people in the cities in Milwaukee trying to get to some of these jobs that are opening up at places like Amazon? It's hard to get there, right?
It's extremely hard to get there. Public Policy Forum did a study on the transit system about 2 years ago, and what's the most difficult is that last mile of service from where the Milwaukee County bus lines stop and where most of the business parks are located, where the job opportunities have migrated from the city to the wild communities actually lie. And that's the challenge, how to bring the youngest workforce that has been identified as being residents in Milwaukee to where the greatest opportunity for capital expansion, and that's to the manufacturers in the wild locations.
Mm-hmm. When you want to change a policy, Are there avenues to do that? Do you go to public hearings that are held on where transportation dollars are going to be spent? Who do you talk to?
I've been to more hearings.
Oh, have you?
Public discussions on input onto the future of transportation than I'd like to recount. Mm-hmm. But those are supposed to be the community input sessions that give voice to projects before they are actually, the dollars are actually allocated. And to no avail, the community's voice is rarely listened to. It's heard, but it's rarely listened to.
So you decided that you had to file a lawsuit.
Another lawsuit.
Another lawsuit.
This is not the first lawsuit against the expansion of 94. If some of you out there are old as me, might remember a group called the Campaign for Sustainable Milwaukee mm-hmm. that filed a lawsuit on the original expansion back in 2000. They had a settlement that afforded $239 million or so to build a light rail from Milwaukee to Waukesha. But the governor at that time, Tommy Thompson, and the mayor of Waukesha canceled that project, said they didn't want people from Milwaukee coming out to Waukesha.
It would make so much sense. There are a lot of jobs. Please tell me how it would help employment, those who are underemployed or unemployed in Milwaukee. Would it help significantly to have a light rail to get to Waukesha?
Well, not only to Waukesha, but Ozaukee and Washington County. Mm-hmm. Waukesha would have been the first spur of that light rail system, in my opinion. As we see with the Joseph Project that Senator Ron Johnson touts as being so fabulous, that when you give a person an opportunity and show them, provide a means of transportation to get there, that they become quite productive citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked to people who are working in hospital facilities in Ozaukee County, and to get there by bus from Milwaukee is just this arduous process. It takes a long time and all these transfers.
And what's surprising about Ozaukee County in particular is that there is one county flyer that services Ozaukee County, but it goes out there empty in the morning, brings commuters into Milwaukee, drops those commuters off, and then it sits around or goes back and does other services. But then at the end of the day, it picks those individuals up and takes them back out to Ozaukee County. But that's all it services, right? It's a very one-sided agreement.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what the lawsuit says.
Well, the lawsuit says that the draft environmental impact study was not thoroughly done, that the recommendations from previous lawsuits were not considered, that the recommendations from WISPAC were not taken into consideration fully, and those considerations are to consider other forms of transportation, mass transportation, other than the expansion. Because of the opportunities from jobs, education, healthcare access, the majority of them are located outside Milwaukee County.
Mm-hmm. And the consideration of what kinds of mass transit, what piques your interest?
Well, if I had my wish list with a magic wand, it would be that light rail that was awarded back in 2000. But we know that rapid transit bus is one option. Considering those last mile options that the public policy put forth are other considerations. So, you know, we have to see what other mass transit options that we can consider.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, Fred, are we unique among major cities in this country that we just have such a lack of transit possibilities to go any kind of distance? I would think most cities have more than we do. Am I wrong?
Most progressive cities that are coming into the 21st century with a vision do, absolutely. Portland, Cincinnati, Washington, D.C. has had an excellent metro system for years. Philadelphia, you know, most progressive communities look at other alternatives to automobile for mass transit.
So does the lawsuit say we want all work stopped now and forevermore on this stretch between, what street is it, and 70th Street?
It's saying we want all considerations of the environmental impact study looked at and looked at realistically before the decision to continue with this project is gone forward.
Mm-hmm. Is there a mass transit component to this? Are you asking also for more consideration of mass transit?
Alternatives. Yeah, we're not saying that, we're not defining what mass transit has to be.
I see. And as I understand, it's already on hold. This project is on hold, right?
For the budgetary reasons that for somehow our elected officials fail to put in performance agreements in their contracts that state that you need to have this much work done by said certain dates. So we've got this overrun of projected highway projects that have almost tripled since their original estimates, which you talk about, Donald Trump talks about he's the great deal maker. Well, he needs to bring some of that deal making here in Wisconsin because these road builders just get a blank check to write whatever they want to.
And it costs an amazing amount of money. I don't know if they're over projecting their costs, but it's millions of dollars per mile, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, yes. Well, some of the estimates that we've heard from 17th Street to 70th is anywhere from $700 million to $1.5 billion, depending on which design they go with. So that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. I also want to talk for a moment. I don't know if this is part of the lawsuit or not, but all you have to do is drive around Milwaukee and you realize that it's been a long time since somebody's looked at the roads here, and I'm sure that city government isn't very happy about this, but the roads are not in very good condition. And nationally, we're 49th out of 50 states in terms of our roads. That's incredible.
So the engineers just did a report card out on roads, on infrastructure in total, right? And I think we've got failing marks across the board on not only surface roads, but bridges, you know, the whole nine yard. Our infrastructure is aging. Mm-hmm. And other than these superhighways, what are we doing to address that? For instance, our lead laterals, which are poisoning our children, potentially, when you start doing these construction projects that vibrate the pipes, that lets the lead leach into the water. And we know that lead has a very detrimental effect on cognitive brain development, especially in young children. That needs to be addressed. 270,000 municipalities in the state alone have been identified with lead lateral issues or potential lead in the drinking water issues. What are we doing to address that? I think that's more important than expanding a highway.
Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Keep trying. Our lines are... No, there's an opening one right now. But our lines are busy on this issue. Ray in Rhinelander, we go to you for Fred's first call. Hi, Ray.
Hi, and thank you, Mike, for taking the effort to bring the lunatic fringe of these projects to light where others like myself can be notified and see these things going on. What burns me the most about this, and most people I know, is other states have taken the public transportation money when it was offered, and then when our governor came here, where it was offered again through the Obama administration to take the public transportation money, and correct me on this if I'm wrong, would have allowed then, by taking that, the light rail that you talked about, and a variety of other things that would help people to get around other areas of inner cities and inner suburbs, et cetera, and also, if you took the public transportation money, also there was a benefit of taking other transportation project monies for infrastructure and other things that would have helped with the public transportation, and it would have helped with jobs, it would have helped with a variety of different things, and other states have taken this. And what this governor doesn't understand, this is a collective tax that everybody pays in the United States and then is distributed to each state to use for the benefit for infrastructure, public transportation, and community projects. It's crazy, and it drives me nuts.
Thank you, Ray, very much for your call. Fred, what do you say?
Well, I think he's on point, because our governor selected and chose which dollars that he would take from President Barack Obama for political reasons. So IRA dollars, the American Reinvestment Recovery Act dollars, which were shovel-ready dollars, which actually did some of the cover some of the cost of the expansion of 94 North-South and some of these other projects. They took that money, right, without hesitation. But as soon as they were talking about expanding mass transportation from Milwaukee to Madison, they crucified that idea because it would have been a political win for Barack Obama. And that's what's the most egregious thing about his decision of which dollars to take. And we ended up spending additional dollars because we had to pay Toggle for the work that they right. did on the cars that they had built. That was like $24 million. That was some significant money that we had to pay just because you wanted to make a political point.
Thanks, Ray, very much for your call. We have a lot of emails coming in as well. A listener north of Wisconsin Dells feels roads out there have been neglected for years. Who determines and how are decisions made as to which roadways get worked on?
You're asking me that?
Mm-hmm.
That's one I can't answer, but I would imagine it is in the Department of Transportation at the state level.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the reports you must be hearing, too, is that roads all over the state of Wisconsin, except for a lot of these freeways, need some work.
Oh, absolutely. You drive down Wisconsin Avenue. You know, we talk about autonomous cars, and I jokingly say I don't know how they'll work because they hit one of these potholes and they'll blow
exactly.
a tire.
Right. A lot. I've noticed that. Just anecdotally, a lot of people
absolutely.
Have talked about flat tires this
yes,
year.
Yes, these potholes are ridiculous.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray, for the call. Let's go to Conrad in Hillsborough. Hi, Conrad.
Hello. I have a question for your guest there, and this is what I heard when Doyle was in office and just shortly before he left. In order to balance the budget, he took the money from the transportation fund and used that to balance the budget before he got out of office. Now, that was money that was transportation fund money, and it was supposed to be used for only transportation fund. Now, why, I'd like to know from your guest if that was actually true. This is what I heard. This is what I read.
Well, and I'm sure he may have used monies from one pot to cover our constitutional requirements to have a balanced budget, just like Governor Walker took money from the tobacco settlement to put a fill loophole of shortfalls in the current budget. So that's nothing that's not normal. If you have a excess or a surplus of dollars in one pot and you have to cover the shortages of another, that's what political leaders do. They rob Peter to pay Paul.
Anne from Madison writes, how does the Milwaukee streetcar project figure into helping or hurting people living in the city? It appears like it's a lot of money that might be better spent on transportation that gets people to their jobs.
Well, if you look at where the jobs have been migrating, when there was $85,000 manufacturing jobs lost in Milwaukee, there were over 45,000 jobs gained in the WOW location. So jobs have been migrating to the suburbs. When you look at where the access to education for skilled trades has. It used to be here in the city of Milwaukee. Bradley Tech used to be the tech vocational school, and most of those tech training centers have moved out to Waukesha. So if you look at where the opportunities lie, and most of the people in the city of Milwaukee that are low income, or very low income, have the least access to automobiles and have the least access to driver's license. And that's mainly due to the state discontinuing the funding of public driver's education in school, which mm-hmm. was only $7 million annually statewide That's a drop in the bucket for some of these programs that we fund annually. $7 million would have ensured that all these children have the, in my opinion, and nowadays, the rights to passage to have legal access to the opportunity to drive a car, even if they don't own one. So those two conditions combined with the where the opportunities lie is why it needs to be other considerations to the expansion of the expressways.
More phone calls for Fred in just one moment. We're talking this hour about the groups in Milwaukee, including the NAACP, that have filed a lawsuit against the State Department of Transportation to block the I-94 highway expansion, estimated to cost close to $1 billion. And we're talking about why the lawsuit and also looking at the state of roads in the Wisconsin and the emphasis on freeway expansion, interchanges. Fred Royal is president of the NAACP Milwaukee branch. It is one of the organizations filing the lawsuit. All right, two more phone calls now. This hour, if you're just tuning us in, we're talking about environmental justice groups asking a court, federal court, to block I-94 expansion. Earlier this month, NAACP, Sierra Club, and Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope filed suit in federal court seeking to block the Department of Transportation's efforts to spend probably over $1 billion to rebuild and expand I-94 between 16th and 70th Streets when it is refusing to include necessary public transit expansion as part of the project. Let's go to Mike in Madison next. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I can relate to the person from Bonneville I could call and wasn't listened to by the engineers. I worked for the Wisconsin DNR back in 1999 and 2000, and had a proposal that I offered that was rejected by the DOT. It was actually published in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel front page. It was to pay financial rewards to people who don't drive a whole lot. In other words, like less than 7,000 miles a year or something like that, or the people that don't even have a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I got laughed out of the house and the DNR eventually. But I still believe that.
Does it make sense to have those kinds of incentives for environmental reasons?
Well, as we know, and whether people want to believe or not that there is such thing as climate change is real, and fossil fuels add to that change in climate, we know that mass transit would be a very helpful tool to combat some of that. So, yeah, I could see that as incentivizing people not to use fossil fuels and go to alternative fuel sources as a means of transportation.
Mm-hmm. Fred, what happened? Where does the suit stand now? You've talked to the federal judge. You've appeared before the court.
Right. They have, and I'm not the legal expert on this, but they have their opportunity 60 days to reply. And then from that standpoint, once they reply, then we have the opportunity to present in front of courts.
Mm-hmm. If you were in charge of the whole thing, if you were going to be able to design something that would really help people get to jobs, that would help people get easier access to downtown Milwaukee, if that's where their jobs are, or Northside, or wherever they are, to get to jobs in Waukesha or Ozaukee County, what do we need? What would be your ideal?
So if we look to other industrialized countries, and most folks have some type of mass transit, the magnetic trains in Japan, the bullet trains are huge all in Europe. That's what would be ideal if I had that magic wand. If the world, according to Fred, would be in a place, that's what we would put in place instead of mass highways. We would put in some type of integral train system that would transport people to and from job mega hubs that we know exist.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Matt in Middleton next. Hello, Matt.
Hello. I have a comment and a question. And the comment is I live around the Madison area, and I've noticed over the last 15 to 20 years that as Madison has expanded its regulation and requirements on businesses, the largest employers have moved directly out of Madison, I mean, within hundreds of feet into neighboring municipalities, you know, Sun Prairie, Wanakee, Middleton. And they do that because long-term, you know, they're looking 15, 20 years, they're saving significant amounts of money due to less regulation. And when these businesses move, they're not lacking in finding people to work. The people in the communities that these businesses move to have a significant benefit, and it's a loss to the people who are in the municipality that was moved from. So I don't understand why we don't have citizens that live in, say, Milwaukee or Madison going to their legislators and their local representatives in government and saying, what can we change locally to make these businesses want to locate in our area to where we don't need to rely on having bus service or light rail or whatnot? And the second question, as far as road expansion and light rail is concerned, I think the government and all municipalities are looking at what is going to maximize their tax revenue going forward. If we take the federal dollars to build a light rail system, but we're then responsible for maintaining it for 20, 30, 40 years down the road, and we don't necessarily see that this system is going to pay for itself, then why should we do it? Whereas with a road, if they come in and they build the road and that does pay for itself because of all of the additional traffic and industry that locates around that, why shouldn't we be favoring that when somebody eventually has to pay for the infrastructure?
Fred?
Well, our current budget shows that that argument of the road paying for itself isn't a valid argument. The budget for road construction is belly up. The other comment that you made had two references. One is that deregulation actually helps development, in my opinion. And Wisconsin being a tourism state, that they claim to be a tourism state, and to allow corporations to come in here without regulations to respect the environment could have catastrophic effects on the tourism industry. Right now they're considering putting the pipeline under the Lake Michigan in the Upper Peninsula. And if that pipe should erupt, can you imagine the impacts it would have on one of the greatest portable bodies of water? Could you imagine a Gulf Coast Exxon disaster in Lake Michigan? So that's why regulation on businesses, it needs to be a balance between encouraging businesses but yet protecting the environment. And that's a delicate balance when you talk about economic development and land use policies.
Thanks so much, Matt, for the call. Our hour has gone much too quickly. We're leaving a number of people on hold. I urge you to go to our Facebook page. We'd love to read your comments, and then everybody can go to the Facebook page so you can all read the comments. There's a lot of interest in this topic. It's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Fred, do you have any optimism? You know, you started the hour by talking about these huge numbers of hearings you've gone to over the years. Do you feel like you're going to make progress?
Well, I'm an old UAW warrior. We never give up. You always have to fight. You have to stay vigilant. You know, that is the nature of a democratic process. Everyone has fortunately, everyone has the right to fight for what they believe in.
Thanks so much for being with us. Join us again, sir. Fred Royal, president of the NAACP Milwaukee branch. Milwaukee NAACP, one of the organizations that filed that lawsuit earlier this month. Thanks so much to also Mike Grunwald, senior staff writer for Political Magazine, who spent quite some time in Milwaukee and Wisconsin looking at the interchanges and the highway projects and the allocation of funds and the lack of public transportation. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing the hour, to Colleen Duvall for on-air production. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and the second hour of the show will be looking at a neighborhood in Milwaukee, high poverty, but lower and lower crime. Why?